Hi, I'm Asha Segura, and this is SEO 2024 Additional Insights.
Ashley, what's your additional insight for SEO in 2024?
Great question. My additional insight is to look at what's currently ranking, really study the top 10 to 20 search results to understand what patterns there are in terms of either how the content is structured, how much content's in there, how much photos versus videos, like really understanding what's working really well from both a Google and user perspective, and also figuring out what's your unique angle. So not just doing the copy pasta of what's currently ranking, but being able to identify patterns from that data, as well as bring something new and unique to the table in your content.
So before we just have a conversation about how do you learn about what's currently ranking, how do you learn what you should be ranking for? Because you don't want to be missing out on any opportunities.
Yeah, that's a great question. And really, it comes into a few things, one of which is defining what is your brand? What is your brand journey? What do you need to accomplish right now? And usually that changes from a quarter to quarter perspective of what you're trying to focus on. It also has to do with what's your product or what's your service offerings? Are you doing a new product launch and that's what you want all the attention to be on? Or do you have the same standard services, but you want to focus on highlighting maybe just one or two? So depending upon what you want to accomplish, it's then going in and doing keyword research to identify, okay, out of this new product that we're launching that we need to promote, let's better understand what people are searching for in order to be able to find our product. And that's where you'd go in and do a lot of keyword research to understand what's the terms, what's the intent behind the search, and then where can you insert content to fit within that user journey.
I loved how you started off talking about what are your goals, what are your objectives, what are your products that you're currently working on that you want to talk about as well, because I think it's easy for SEOs just to think of the environment, think of the category of business that you're in and attempt to discover opportunities that perhaps there isn't that much competition in there and drive traffic from there. But if it's not hyper-relevant traffic to begin with, then they're not necessarily going to do anything on your website when they get there.
Exactly. And if anything, it could totally mess up your data. And if you have other stakeholders that you're reporting to and you can say, oh, okay, we have a bunch of traffic going to certain pages, but then no one's doing anything, that's not helpful at all. And that's a big red flag from a marketing perspective that, okay, we're getting the traffic, but the language in our content is not converting or keeping people on the page. So we're missing the messaging entirely.
And what's your favorite way to actually discover what's currently ranking for the keywords that you've defined that you want to try and rank for?
Certainly, literally putting on that user hat, going to Google, typing in the keyword that I'm trying to rank for or trying to better understand and seeing what's populating. Do understand that that's going to be location-based, but that will give me a general idea of what is populating, what it looks like. And there's just something about putting yourself in the user's shoes. Like, yes, we have so many great SEO tools. SEMrush has like a fantastic journey for this. Ahrefs does as well. Like there's so many great SEO tools that will give you the snapshot of here's the top 10 ranking search results. Here's patterns that you can identify. But there's something very unique as a marketer to be able to go in as the user and see for yourself. And sometimes that's how I identify the biggest patterns or the biggest opportunities of, okay, so if all 10 of the top ranking articles have this one heading that focuses on variations of this type of product, that's a big indicator that people want to see variations and I can build an internal linking strategy around the variations if that's something that we offer. It can also give me ideas of, okay, everyone's focusing just on variations, but what about similarities? No one's talking about the similarities. That's how I can make my content unique by both including the variations because that is working, but also adding a section focusing on what the similarities are.
And you also talked about at the beginning, focusing on your locality, understanding what users want, where you are. So if you're an international brand, if you are in lots of different countries, do you translate your existing content, or do you start afresh? Do you simply try and get someone involved directly within that market where the user is and decide what they want and produce content that they want rather than do any translations at all?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. And really, from a perfect world where you have a huge marketing department, endless budget, someone in all these locations, yes, that is definitely the idea, is to have someone boots on the ground who really understands the language and the terminology and can create content within that area. That's very rarely what the actual situation looks like, though. Very rarely do we have the capabilities to have someone boots on the ground in all of the different locations that we're trying to get traffic from. So this is where I do go and use SEO tools to be able to quickly change the geographies and be able to understand what is the conversation there, what are the trends there, as well as going to forums. Like, I know the big R scary word, the Reddit right now, but, you know, going to Reddits, going to Facebook groups in those areas and joining those groups just to understand what are their tones, what are they actually saying. Like, Facebook groups has a keyword search term inside of the group. Drop the keyword in there, see what the conversation is in that specific location. Like, there's a lot of fun and unique ways to kind of immerse yourself in an area that you're not actually in.
So how do you go about offering something different with your content? Because you would think that when you search for a keyword phrase and you've seen quite a few different articles or pieces in different websites ranking and are fairly similar, that they've decided that the search engine is looking for something specific. I mean, is it worthwhile trying to offer something quite different? And is that likely to be appealing to Google?
So it's a hard to say question because there's always so many other variables. For example, if you have really high authority sites, the ranking on the top three, you know, even if your content is unique and has all the bells and whistles and is completely optimized, you're still competing with really high authoritative brands. And that's just going to be a difficult spot to come up, and it will take time. But if that's not the case, then you do have the opportunity to be unique and offer something different with your content that users are desperately searching for, or they don't even know that they need that information, but it's helpful. So for example, I'm noticing a lot of the long form content pieces, pillar pieces of content are still being produced by brands, which is great. It's really helpful for users. But where it's confusing and where there's usually this loss is people aren't using jump to buttons as much, or they'll have the table of contents, but they won't link to those sections. So they're thinking they're checking the right boxes, but they're still not making it as easy for the user to find the specific answer that they want, and they're burying it. So if your content can be unique, as simple as making what the actual answer is and the point of that so incredibly easy to find by using the jump to buttons within your table of contents. So it's not like you need to come up with a brand new answer to this question. It sometimes is as simple as being unique in how you display the information.
Great. Okay. But you may not necessarily want to change your website too much because obviously it may actually negatively impact your existing traffic. You may be ranking 3 or 4 and ideally wanting to rank number 1, but you're getting quite a bit of traffic anyway. Is there any way that you can split test or test beforehand the changes that you intend to make to get some kind of idea of the likely click-through rate or traffic you're going to get because of that?
You can, but I mean, if we're talking about if you're on page 1 and you're at 5 and you want to be at 3, I mean, you're so close at that point that making any major changes, I would never recommend making any changes. Like, you're already for.
Got you. So it's more about authority rather than actually the type of content you have.
Exactly. And this is more of like, say you're on page 2 to 5 and you're clearly, people are searching for this and you're close, but you're not there yet. That's a big indicator that you can safely make these changes. You don't even need to be A/B testing. Like, you can make these direct changes and see and analyze this over time, how you're moving. Are you going down? Okay, then that change, that's not satisfying it. But also going back to putting the user hat on and typing in Google, because Google's understanding of intent changes all the time. And that could be literally the difference of why you're not on page 1 and you're on page 2. You're at the top of page 2, but you're not making it over there yet. And it's because maybe Google's understanding of what the intent is changed. And so you need to update your content to basically satisfy it.
Is it possible to serve multiple types of intent from the same page with similar content, but obviously content that would differ depending upon the stage of the buyer journey, or are you better off actually having separate pages for that?
A little bit of both. I mean, I see this all the time, especially in specifically pillar pieces of content, to where it'll be informational and address informational, but then they'll sneak in commercial intent here and there. And, oh, well, if you want the fast solution to this, instead of reading everything, you can just click here and purchase this, and there, problem solved. So I see brands all the time gliding in other intents while having the primary purpose be like an informational intent. And I see that working really successfully. That's definitely something to where I would go and look at what's currently ranking and seeing what are they doing? Are they just focusing on satisfying that informational intent, or is it all commercial based? And sometimes that commercial base is what works.
Are you noticing any trends at the moment in terms of types of content? I think that you mentioned earlier on about getting to the answer quickly. So are you seeing that answers have to be more succinct nowadays? Are you seeing any trends towards other forms of medium, or maybe video content as well?
Yes, video content. I mean, video content's been, gosh, I want to say since 2018, I've been preaching on everyone needs to be doing video content in some way, shape, or form along their content stage. So video content is definitely still trendy now more than ever, especially with everyone going to social media networks to get answers or to have conversations more than they're going to websites and engaging with brands. In terms of content style, though, there is definitely this need for this shorter piece of content to where the answer is right there. Don't make me scroll 3/4 of the way to the page to get the answer that I'm searching for. You know what the answer is. You've done the keyword research to understand that I'm just trying to get to this one point as a user. So burying it is not helpful. And that's also where I'm really curious to see with this March update, how many different types of content are going to be affected? And are we going to see patterns with longer form content being affected? Because ideally, longer form content has satisfied user journey by being informational. But with AI the past year and a half, creating these really long form pieces of fluff content, it's a little early to say, you know, throw out all your long form, just focus on short form. I think this update's really going to tell us a lot once it fully rolls out of what not only Google wants to see, but how we can safely keep creating these longer, shorter form pieces of content while still getting to the point.
You're saying there's no future for fluff content marketers.
Oh, no. There was never a future to begin with. It was a fun short ride, but that ride's over.
So a lot of SEOs tend to think about driving traffic from Google and driving traffic directly to their website. But of course, you can deliver content, you can offer answers on other platforms as well, perhaps YouTube, perhaps social media as well. Can it be just as effective as part of the brand experience to aim to drive traffic to social media or other sites on behalf of your brand and then do that as part of the buyer journey? Or ideally, do you want to keep people on your website as much as possible?
I think that depends on your brand and your goals and who you're reporting to as well. That's really what it can come down to, is they rather see the social metrics or the site metrics. But at the end of the day, where are the conversions coming from? If they're happening because they're engaging and getting comfortable with your brand on social and then stopping by your website and then eventually going back to social and making a conversion, like, it's really understanding what that user path looks like, where you have resources to put the most efforts to create content in, and where you can track that path. I don't see anything wrong with putting a lot of effort towards social and creating a user journey, creating content from a social perspective that eventually gets people to the site. I think social is really good for building brand authority from a consumer standpoint of getting to know your brand, getting to know what kind of content you create. And then when they're ready, they know what your site, at that point, they know what you offer. They understand who you are. When they're ready, they're going to go on the site and make a conversion. But that can be very controversial depending upon what your organization has resources for, what they report on, and where the conversions really come from.
And how often should you update your content? How do you know when it's time to update it and go about doing that?
That is a great question. This is also going to be dependent upon how much traffic you get. So how often are you getting data to be able to say that this new blog post had enough eyes on it that I can start tearing it apart? So a very rough, safe estimate is I always recommend auditing your content quarterly. That's so at the end of the quarter, going back and pulling up all the metrics for all the content in that past quarter, not just the new content that you've posted, but literally all of your content, collecting the data for that and seeing what the patterns are. As user intent changes, as Google's understanding of user intent changes, that's where data from older pieces of content is also going to change. So if you have the capabilities and the resources to do a rough mini content audit on a quarterly basis, that's going to really dictate what you need to do in the next quarter in terms of what posts need to be updated or what posts still need time, don't touch them, things like that.
You've shared what SEO should be doing in 2024. So now let's talk about what SEO shouldn't be doing. So what's something that's seductive in terms of time, but ultimately counterproductive? What's something that SEO shouldn't be doing in 2024?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think at this point, relying on AI for so much, we're losing our voice as a brand, because we're going to AI to dictate so much of our content and so much of our content strategy. And AI is not great at sentiment. It's not great at tone. You can find yourself rabbit-holing, telling it, no, that's not it. Try this. No, that's still not it. Try this.
And then it makes another mistake and another mistake. And yeah.
100%. It is just not there yet. I don't know if it'll ever be there. It might, but who knows? But we end up spending so much time trying to reshape it that if we would have just gone back to creating it ourselves, or even from a strategy perspective, doing the old whiteboard and writing it all out and kind of getting all your ideas on paper versus relying on AI to do everything, it ends up taking more time. It's not producing great results. Brands' content, like across industries, are starting to look all the same. And it's consumers are not dumb. Like they're not. They're catching on to this. They're very well aware of what AI is doing and what role it's playing in marketing. And so from a time perspective, you may think that you're saving yourself time, but I suggest, and I've been trying to preach it, use AI as a coworker, not as your primary resource.
Great advice. Ashley Segura is co-founder and CMO at Content Yum. You can find her over at contentyum.com. Ashley, thanks so much for adding your additional insight to SEO in 2024.
Thank you.
I've been your host, David Bain. You've been listening to an episode of SEO in 2024 Additional Insights, a majestic series that complements the original SEO in 2024 podcast, video series, and book. Find out more at SEOin2024.com.